Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Boos rang out around the Aviva Stadium on Saturday evening when Ireland faced England at the Nations League. Whenever Jack Grealish or Declan Rice touched the ball, there was a deafening noise when God Save the King was played. So what is your reaction to the Irish fans booing the English national anthem? Is it disrespectful? Obviously, we are delving into sensitive, dangerous territory when we look back at history. But should that sort of discussion be put aside for a sporting event? Do get in touch and let us know your thoughts. I'll go to the phones. I'm joined by John O'Brennan, Professor of European Integration at NUI Maynooth. John, you're very welcome.
Good afternoon, Claire.
What's your reaction to this?
Well, I thought what we saw at Lansdowne Road on Saturday was not just unwelcome, but disgraceful. It was a really unpleasant reminder of the worst of the past relationship between Britain and Ireland. And there are two reasons in particular I think it was so unwelcome. First is the obvious hypocrisy. So many of the people who were booing loudly in the stadium are people who themselves support some of that English team when they play for their favourite teams in the English Premier League. So whether it's Liverpool or Man United or Arsenal, many of those fans actually go to England and are welcomed by English people when they support those clubs. The second reason, I think, however, is more important, and it's this, that we have managed to restructure British-Irish relationships very significantly over the last 20 or 30 years. The Queen's visit was very important to that. Keir Starmer came to Ireland at the weekend as a friend of Ireland. He's visited Ireland a lot over the years, likes the country, and he had to listen to his own national anthem being booed very, very loudly. I shouldn't have to remind people that the peace process is very fragile and we have a certain responsibility there. And I would argue that anybody who is looking to build a united Ireland has got to be conscious of the fact that first, there are about 85,000 British people who live in the Republic of Ireland. Imagine it was like for them to listen to that booing on Saturday. And what about the unionist community in Northern Ireland? God Save the King is their anthem. It's part of their identity. And they had to listen to this. And you could see, I think, Claire, in the responses, just so much of the unionist insecurity coming out about what a united Ireland might look like. They think that this is really very, very unwelcome and it's hostile. And my argument is that it's childish, it's emotional, and we should get past it.
And John, a lot of people are saying, oh, look, there was no physical altercation and it's only booing. But is that still under the umbrella of hooliganism mentality that we all deplore today, and rightly so?
Well, there's certainly an argument there that soccer is different. We know that when Ireland faces England in Dublin, we never see any of this occurring. We don't see it reciprocated either on the other side of the Irish Sea when the teams play there. So there may well be something there. But the simple truth is that many of those people who were in the stadium and booing are people who themselves live close to and have lots of contact with British people who have opted to make a life for themselves in Ireland. So on that level and on many, many others, I would argue, this was completely unnecessary and just a reminder of the toxicity of the relationship in the past. I think we all have a responsibility to, in the way that we behave, to just do it with dignity and decency and put aside all this old sort of nonsense.
Yes, well said, John. Thank you for coming on. Sean from Ranelagh says, I was at the match. I was unhappy about the lack of respect for a visitor's national anthem. However, it is par for the course in British football, so that lessened the impact of it. Also, of course, Rice and Grealish want to play for the country they grew up in, especially when they are one of the best teams in Europe. And I'd like to get your thoughts on that, the distinction between every now and then. I mean, I don't agree with it at all in English football. I have a lot of family living in England and I remember as a child when we travel over there and my dad would be taking my younger brother. It was the age of sexism, let's be honest. He wasn't bringing me or my sister, but he was bringing my brother to the matches and he would be concerned about what my brother was going to hear, because the referee was getting it, the opposition was getting it. It was mouthfuls of bad language that just isn't something you want an 8-year-old's ears to hear, or indeed anyone's ears. So some people accept that as par for the course. But when it comes to the national anthem, is that territory that we should really just leave and have respect for? We'd like to get your thoughts. You can get in touch with us now, 53106. It will cost you 30 cents. Now, Chris, you're on the line here on Lunchtime Live on News Talk. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Claire. Thanks for having me.
You are English living in Ireland. So tell us about your reaction about the goings on over the weekend.
Look, I've been here for over 30 years, and the Irish have always been extremely welcoming to me. And I actually do agree with virtually all of John's comments. I think he kind of has that totally right in terms of the overall view. However, over the 30 years, I've got really quite used to the whole ABE side of things, and it's almost quite amusing now. And it's okay. With Rice and Grealish, obviously, was expected, especially after Paul Cook, the president, said he wanted the crowd to raise the roof in support of Ireland. You'd expect that sort of kickback. And I suppose I was a bit disappointed about the national anthem. We'd never do that to Ireland. But when I say that, the English crowds, when they travel abroad, can be dreadful. You know, they're nobody to be actually giving anybody else lessons in etiquette at all. But it's an English person living here so happily amongst Irish people that I love. I'd never like to leave here. Yeah, come on, let's get over it. A national anthem is important. I have tried many times in clubs and pubs at the end of the evening to sing the Irish national anthem. Not that I can pronounce a word of it, which is a bit difficult.
many of us do it phonetically, Chris. It's okay.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's all I do. But I try and go along with the song, you know.
Yeah, but I hear what you're saying. So yeah, and I mean, I think people might balk at the fact that you said, get over it. I mean, nobody is suggesting that people get over what happened in history. But there are ways and means of dealing with this and discussing it.
In a sporting way. Not to do with, obviously, the actual history. That's a lesson that we've learned and should learn from going forward. I really meant in the sporting sense.
Yeah, and I was reading some of the articles.
History.
And some people were also heard to be shouting that Liz is in a box about the Queen. I mean, is that taking things a step too far? I mean, it sounds like a very obvious question, but would that be deeply upsetting to you or other people who are English?
I think many things that are said say much more about the people who are saying or singing them than who they're referring to. You know, it just puts you down. I think if you, as a person, if you think that's the right thing to do, you should be ashamed.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. And look, there'd be a lot of Irish people that would be ashamed of that also and upset by that. Chris, thank you very much for coming on. The language around the England-Ireland match was bad, says another, calling it a clash rather than a match, for instance. Interesting. I'd like there to be some sort of, you know, look back, proper research into how often clash is used. And is it only used in those sort of instances? Well, let's ask Mortimer Murphy, a sports journalist. Mortimer, you're very welcome to the programme.
Yeah, thanks, Claire.
Now, I mean, I know I'm asking you to answer this off the cuff, but how often do we use the word clash? Is it during times like this where there is going to be a little bit more in the history, be it a derby, for example, or something like Ireland-England?
Yeah, I wouldn't pay too much heed to using the word, or importance to using the word clash. We use it all the time in sports journalism, the clash, even the clash of the Ash, but the clash between local rivals, say Kerry and Cork, Dublin and Kerry, Kilkenny and Tipperary and Hurling, whatever, and the same in soccer, and whether it's a Man United Liverpool derby match, it would be clash. Yeah, that word is used. That means nothing. It has connotations, obviously, but I don't think. I agree with both what John and Chris said. I would always be of the opinion, and I have been, sports and politics does mix. I keep politics out of sport as much as possible. I understand about the nationalist cause, etc. I understand history. But I think we are not defined by what happened in the past right now. We're defined on how we behave right now and how we carry ourselves. And certainly that was very childish on Saturday evening. And I think as well, I think it was John that made a very important point. Look, a lot of the guys and people who were booing that national anthem go regularly to Premiership games. Most of the Irish, if not all of the Irish team that play and earn their crust across Channel. I mean, like, do they not, I mean, have they got anything between their ears? Do they not realise that, you know, if England or if the UK or the Premiership or the FA in England decide, yeah, we want everybody here, but we don't want the Irish. How do they feel about that? No, I think we have to learn to... there's rivalry there because it's England versus Ireland. Don't get me wrong, every time England, when they lost the semi-final of the Euros, sorry, the final of the Euros, I was quite happy. So most Irish people would be, but that's the Irishness coming out in us. But
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Kind of carry on at a match is not acceptable. It's wrong, it's tribal, and it's also, I'd say, is kind of, if you think about it, soccer, football we like to call it in trade, but soccer to differentiate it from our own Gaelic sport. Soccer is a garrison game. It's a game that was introduced from England to Ireland, and we're not bad at it, but we're not good at it. We were never going to beat that English team. I do think when Rice and Grealish came on, that's okay to give them a bit of the birds, bit of a booing and a welcome to Ireland. But then to be repeating it every time they touch the ball, again, is childish.
Concentrating
the game.
I hear you, Mortimer. Like, there's going to be rivalry, as you said, between rival teams, counties beside each other. That's all part of it. But, you know, to take it to another level is dangerous. There is a text coming in here that I'd love to put to you. Just as an FYI, says a texter, Irish fans going to English club matches are not actually made to feel welcome. Is that something you've ever experienced or witnessed?
No, everywhere. You see, it depends. If you want to go into a part of the ground where it's strictly West Ham fans or Man United fans or whoever it would be, or Arsenal fans, you're going to get, and they recognise, and you're wearing a Kerry jersey or a Dublin jersey or an opposition jersey, and you're going there, you're going to get some abusive chants at you, and you'll be called everything under the sun. And that's unfortunately par for the course at both soccer matches, and it's across Channel, and it's the same here. League of Ireland matches, with a League of Ireland team down here now, Kerry FC, and you know, sometimes you hear the chant from opposition supporters as well. So look, that's par for the course. That's a soccer environment. I don't agree with it. I wouldn't be part of it. But I don't think that the Irish visitors across Channel who follow clubs in England, that's their experience. I think most of them would agree that they're well received and well respected by the people, by the English, etc.
I should certainly hope so. People might get in touch and let us know on that one. But Mortimer Murphy, sports journalist, thank you very much for coming on. Kevin and Nay said, I would like to describe myself as a proud Irish Republican, but booing anthems, even Britain's, is not helpful. And I thought that was a very interesting point by John O'Brennan, Professor of European Integration at NUI in Maynooth. He said, look, the peace process is fragile. And you sometimes think, well, that's not the same thing to be booing at a match. But, you know, it certainly can be. And we can see how hate and fear is playing out across the world. And nobody wants it to be played out in that way. Surely there are more emotionally intelligent ways for us to work out things like this, you would hope. Pat says, agree, should not have booed national anthem. We lowered ourselves to the level of some fans who boo all anthems. Booing Rice and Grealish is a different issue. They were always going to get booed. It clearly didn't affect them. I don't know, Pat. I mean, it would take some person to not be impacted by being booed every single time you took to the ball. And as Mortimer said, all right, when they came on, there was going to be a reaction. And I'm sure they were prepped for it, but I'm sure they felt it. Mairead is on the line in Germany. Mairead, what did you think about this reaction from the Irish fans?
Hello, good morning, Claire. I thought when I first heard about this on the radio this morning, I didn't watch the match myself, but it was maybe an exaggeration. So I went on YouTube, had a little look, and I was quite surprised to see that a lot of people were booing. I mean, it sounded like the whole stadium were booing, which is embarrassing. I mean, it's really, really rude to to any visiting team, especially our nearest neighbours. So, yeah, absolutely out of order. Can't believe that happened.
And I was really surprised driving home from town last Friday at the presence of the Gardaí around the city. Now, this is what we often call for, that we want more of a presence if there are going to be a lot more crowds in the city, especially after the Dublin riots. And I did notice an increased police presence when there were the American football matches taking place. So, you know, I don't want to say this was all thinking that there could be trouble between Irish and English fans, but you would hope that we have moved on a lot from that marade. And does it just kind of stoke all that back up again to see it represented like that at the match?
Absolutely. I mean, the thing about it is, we're always talking about our Garda force being under immense pressure and not having enough of them out on the street and whatever. And I can't see how booing at a match isn't going to put them under terrible pressure. What you're doing there is you're stoking the fire of possible, you know, thugs, hooligans on the other side who've come across, and you're just giving them some reason to kick off and cause havoc for the Gardaí and for, you know, businesses and whatever around the town. It's no help at all. And to be honest, I'm not even sure why it was so pronounced this particular match. I mean, I'm not a big football fan, so maybe there was something more to it, but it seemed like every Irish person in that stadium was booing, and I have no idea what that's all about. I mean, I lived in the UK for years, and all I can say is, as an Irish person over there, I never, not once in all the years I spent there, felt a slight bit of animosity towards me for being Irish. And living in Germany now, what I could say is here, everybody was really impressed by Irish fans, and they see the Irish fans abroad. They're singing along even when they're losing. And it gives us this great impression that we're this lovely, friendly nation of people. And then you've got that type of hostility when you've got a guest team visiting Dublin. I think it's really very sad.
Yeah, there is a texter here who says, come on, who cares? It's just football. Happens all the time. Do you think if Ireland played Northern Ireland in Windsor Park, our anthem wouldn't be booed? Well, what do you think, Mairead? I mean, it's very hard to quantify how many people are chanting in a crowd. I assume there's no way it was every single Irish person was booing the national anthem. But do you think the national anthem, there should always be respect for? There's going to be rivalry in sport. There's going to be a little bit of argy-bargy between two teams. But that the national anthem, there should remain respectful of.
Of course. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, it's played to remind a team that they're representing their country and to do so with respect. You know, this is an encounter between nations, not just teams. And that does have to be respected. I think, you know, it's an emphasis on international cooperation or whatever, peaceful competition between nations. And that's how it should be seen. I think it's just wrong, completely wrong, to boo another nation's national anthem. And completely opposed to it.
Well, thank you for coming on from Germany, Mairead. Lovely to have you listening in. I'm sorry, this whole conversation, says one texter, is pearl clutching. Booing is part of the pantomime of viewing football. God Save the Queen gets booed when it's played in Scotland and Wales and Liverpool. No one in England cares or attaches any political meaning to it. People who don't watch football should stay in their lane. I just don't accept the mentality of it. I mean, I was in Buenos Aires on our honeymoon a few years ago, and we went to a Boca Juniors and River Plate match, and I couldn't believe how the fans